We will try, over the next couple of days, to study some of the Gemara and a parallel Medrash about how the Amoraim, primarily the Amoraim, taught Megillas Esther. So when they taught Megillas Esther, they always preceded the Shiur with a Pasuk from somewhere else in Tanakh. And some of the Pesukim were intended to draw meanings from Megillas Esther that weren't independently evident. So by signing a Pasuk as an analogy or affiliated Pasuk, all of a sudden you're able to appreciate different news and different slants on Megillas Esther. So today I will study one of the most famous beginnings, actually two of them. We'll start with Rav Dimi Bar Yitzchak. It's quoted in the Gemara Megillah Yudam and Beis, Aleph and Aleph. It's also Medrash Rabbah and the Psicha of Megillas Esther. So when Rav Dimi Bar Yitzchak began to teach Megillas Esther with his Talmidim, so Megillah Yudam and Beis, Pasach La Pischa Lahai Parsha. He began with this Parsha. Mehacha. Ki Avadim Anachnu. It's a Pasuk that talks about the slavery, the shibud. Ki Avadim, it's a Pasuk. It's in Ezra, it's in the end of Ezra. Ki Avadim Anachnu. Uv'avduseinu lo azavnu elokeinu. Even though we're Avadim, Kadosh Baruch Hu hasn't abandoned us. Vayet aleinu chesed l'fnei malchei paras. Kadosh Baruch Hu provided chesed in front of the Persian gods, Persian kings. In Masai, what was this Pasuk in Ezra referring to? Bisman Haman. So, Rav Dimi Bar Yitzchak was drawing attention to the historical context of Megillas Esther. Very often we wrap the entire story into a little plastic bag. We're threatened, Hashem saved us, Hashgach HaPratis. This is happening during an 18-year period between when Am Yisrael has already started building the Beis HaMikdash, but they've been halted by stiff opposition, stiff hostility by locals who actually write letters back to Malchei Paras, halting Koresh's original decree to sanction building the Beis HaMikdash, to allow it. But it's not just in that context. There are two historical contexts. A smaller one, this 18-year gap between the initial construction and the final, but also it's 70 years after the Holocaust. You have to use that word when you describe the destruction of the first Beis HaMikdash, because we were born into a world without a Beis HaMikdash. We were born into a world without sovereignty. We were born in full sovereignty. We were born into... But could you imagine living... And remember, the 400 years of the first Beis HaMikdash is on the tail end of a 900-year period of miracles and revelation and invulnerability of Am Yisrael and Kriyas Yam Sof. And every day you wake up and there are miracles. And every day you wake up, there are Korbanos and Kohen and Nevuah. And all of a sudden, it ends. So obviously, the numbers and the stats aren't as grotesque as the Holocaust. But in terms of a trauma, a national trauma, the second Beis HaMikdash a little bit less so, because they already knew what losing a Beis HaMikdash was like. It was a little bit more fierce because of the Roman persecution. But the apocalypse and the shift of paradigm from having a Beis HaMikdash in prophecy and not having it is overwhelming, is devastating. Okay? And they felt that they were slaves in Paras. And this brings me to Shmuel's pasuk, which is even more precise. When Shmuel began to teach Megillas Esther, he didn't quote a pasuk in Ezra, which describes, in generic terms, that we were avadim, but HaKadosh Baruch Hu saved us and rescued us, even as we were avadim. But he quoted the pasuk in the end of Bechukosai. V'af gam zos v'yosam v'eretzai v'hem lo me'astim v'lo ge'altim l'chalosam l'hafer b'si'ita. So this pasuk isn't just about the Yeshua, but it's about l'hafer b'si'ita. I won't compromise my bris. What does it mean, I won't compromise my bris? So let's take a step back to appreciate Shmuel's pasuk. Let's take a step back and understand what was Haman's gamble. Haman was no fool. He was an advisor to the king. He was a student of history. People had tried before him. No one had defeated the Jews. What was Haman's chish? What did Haman think he could succeed where others had failed? The answer was, he was staring down the exact same saga I just described. The Jews, they were chosen. They were impenetrable. But they betrayed that covenant because they sinned for 200 years, 250 years, if you want to count Shoftim. Their repeated infidelity and all this murder and all this sexual promiscuity and all this idolatry of the first Beis HaMikdash, they lost their land. They lost their Beis HaMikdash. They are now ripe for the taking. They're no longer the Amon Yifchar. God has discarded them and expelled them from his land and stripped his Mikdash from them. Haman was the first Christian, not ideologically, not theologically, he was Zoroastrian, but ideologically, to lay that claim that the Jews were now children of Satan, they had been discarded by God because of their failures. He was a Yeshno Am Echad, Mefuzar, Umefarad, Bein Hamim. They're just a regular people now. They're now like any other nation, rather than that special status, or the special nation status. That's why he was so convinced when this lottery or this whole mechanism to determine the date, when it fell on Adar, so this is a very neat package. This 900-year period of prophecy began on which month? Nisan. Now it's ending, so it should end on Adar. That makes sense. It resonated with him. That the period began 900 years earlier, Chodesh Zelchem, Rosh Chodeshim, that's the final month. So let the year end, and we'll move on. That was Haman's gamble. And the Jews believed it also. They were frightened for their lives. Maybe the bris has ended. So the Purim salvation reminded Am Yisrael, and of course the world, no, there's a bris. And as long as you're in Am Yisrael, I'm in, because I'm not walking away from them. V'af gamzos, b'yosem b'eretz oivehem, lo me'astim, v'lo ge'altim l'chalosam, l'hafer b'risi itam. That's why Purim gets a little bit of harsinai to it. Kim v'kibla yudim alem b'alzaram, because it was reinforcing the durability. It's a word in physics, tensility, that something can shake but still hold, tensile, strength. It's a tensile bris. It can still shake and waver, but it's still there, like a piece of steel. It will shake, it's still there. That's why Shmuel began with this pasuk, to a lesser degree of Dimi Bar Yitzhak. Dimi Yitzhak doesn't talk about the bris, even when we're Avadim, you're there for us. Shmuel is a lot more graphic. Lahafer brisi itam. I'm not breaking the bris. This is one of the slants of Megillas Esther that you don't get from just reading the lines. And this is why Shmuel framed his learning of Megillas Esther with this pasuk. So we'll try to find five or six different introductions of Chazal and how they open up new understanding of Megillas Esther. Okay? Okay.